Well, may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. One of the scriptures that I have been, and therefore we have been, contemplating a lot lately is the scripture from Luke chapter 2, when Jesus was at the temple when he was 12 and when his parents misplaced him, which is not a good thing to do with Jesus, and restored his presence with them. It says about Jesus that Jesus continued to increase, and it's really the word advance, in favor or grace with God and with men. And that's been a verse that I've been praying into a lot, that God, I don't want to stop advancing in favor or grace with God and with man. And if that's said about Jesus, that Jesus, though he had all the grace in the world you can have, so do you, by the way, you've been made complete in Christ, but there's an advancing in stewardship of grace. I want to steward more grace. I want to steward all the grace that I possibly can and its manifestation in my life in this lifetime. I don't want to leave anything left on the field because I wouldn't believe or go after it. There's a place in Hebrews 2 that talks about drifting away, drifting back. And one of the things I've discovered over the years in my walk with the Lord, you're either advancing or you're drifting. Nobody ever stays stagnant. That's not possible. To think you can stay in a place spiritually is like painting a large target on your back for the enemy, because you'll always start drifting back. And God created us that way so that we would be propelled in our own heart. We would be motivated to keep advancing because the risks are too great not to. But one of the things I've been praying about a lot lately is, okay, God, we have known a real increase in favor lately. We've really advanced in grace in terms of seeing a manifestation of the fullness of Christ, specifically in the area of signs and wonders and healings, a significant one. How do we keep advancing? I want to be a good steward of favor, because favor is like one of those things where God says if he does something for you that's little and you don't steward it well, what you've had will be taken away from you. You'll drift back. But if you'll steward well the favor that's being released in your life, you'll increase and get to experience more favor. I'm desperate for that. I'm desperate to maintain an attitude, therefore, blessed are the poor in spirit. You don't have to be poor financially to be poor in spirit. And there's something about, it says in James, I think it's James 3, about the treasures of the poor. The treasures of the poor is that there's a desperation for more. A childlike faith that says, I'll do whatever it takes. I'll go as far as I have to go to receive. We've seen that many times in Africa where people who hear that we're in town or we're in the area, and they believe that they can get to us, they're going to get healed, and they'll do whatever they have to do and pay whatever price they have to pay to get there. They don't have a passive indifference disposition like a lot of Westerners do, because they have no backup plan. God's it. We have so many backup plans. One of the values of getting older is you get to go through your second childhood. And I found that to be true spiritually. Just recently at the House of Bishops, that's a prophetic word I gave them. God wants us to go through our second childhood, so that we have the childlike faith and desperation to experience more. We will have the mindset that says we're coming towards the end. Now we're at a place where even though our outer man's decaying, our inner man's been renewed so much that we have tasted so much of the goodness of God. We want to taste more. We want to keep going. We want to keep advancing in grace. Here's an example. There's a scripture, a couple of scriptures that are real familiar, powerful scriptures. It says in verse 24 of Luke 11, when the unclean spirit goes out of a man, it passes through waterless places, seeking rest. And not finding any, it says, I'll return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds it swept and put in order. And then it goes and takes along seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they go in and live there, and the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. And I just saw this from a different light a couple of weeks ago, just praying into the favor that we're seeing. And for an unclean spirit to go out of a man is favor. That's a real manifestation of grace. But the idea here is that this demon got cast out or left this person and then wandered around in waste places and said, I'll go back to where I was going. When he goes back, he finds a place all in order but empty. And so he says, well, I'll just go back. He takes seven more spirits with them. And the point being is, if you've experienced favor, then you don't just sit there and have everything in order. You fill it up, man. You go for more. You pray into favor, and you want to speed up the advancing. That's how you respond to God's favor, to a grace released in your life. is you just go after more. Because the enemy will counterattack. He's a thief. And if you're under heavy attack, that's evidence most of the time that you're not doing something wrong, that you're doing something very right. And the enemy is totally frightened. And he's trying to keep you from breaking through into more advancing in grace. And this is a scripture that I pray into a lot. I love this one so much. Because this is what I feel like. I feel like we're those people who've dreamed. We've prayer dreamed. We've seen things happen, but not at this level before. And seeing boldness released in people and seeing God respond and just signs and wonders occurring regularly. And so my heart is like, God, this is like a dream come true. And we're not just thinking about it anymore. We're not just discussing it anymore. It's not just a theology. We're actually seeing a more biblical level of signs and wonders replicated in our midst. We're seeing a greater manifestation of the Holy Spirit than we've ever seen before. So this is Psalm 126. This is a psalm about Jewish people coming back from Babylonian captivity. And the people who were left in Jerusalem were praying for them because there was a remnant left in Jerusalem. And it says, when the Lord brought back the captive ones of Zion, we were like those who dream, and then our mouths were filled with laughter and our tongue with joyful shouting. And then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. That's the rejoicing. But what do you do about that? This is one of the things I ask the Lord lately. It's like, okay, anytime I see God doing something, I'm going, okay, Lord, what next? Like, what is my response supposed to be? What are you asking of us? What are we supposed to do? And again, the Lord has done great things, said for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. And the very next verse, turn again our captivity, O Lord. What was he praying for? More. Lord, when the Lord brought back the captives, ones of Zion, we were like those who dream. Turn again our captivity, O Lord. More freedom, God. Do more. That's the response to favor. Passivity is a killer. There's nothing passive about the Lord. The fall impacts us in horrible ways, and one of the ways is that we become passive and indifferent and cynical. That's why the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit fills us, he says we're filled with the Holy Spirit and fire. The Holy Spirit releases a fire in us. I do not want the fire to ever go out. I don't want this little burning thing. I want to pray into that. I want more and more and more. And I believe, I pray that in my heart that the last thing I say, like if you're hearing me, I'm laying on my deathbed and you're leaning over trying to, he's trying to say something. We can't, no, I'm not going more, Lord, more. That's how you deal with favor. You celebrate. They celebrated. I want to celebrate. I don't ever seem ungrateful. You kidding me? I'm celebrating. You know, the things that we saw on the street Saturday, I'm celebrating that. I'm celebrating the fact that I was able to go into a pool hall with a bunch of men in there and just stop in the middle of the place and say, look, I just feel like God told me he wanted to heal somebody here. I couldn't have done that probably at some point in my life. But I'm celebrating the boldness that I've prayed for that God's released. But I want more boldness. You know? I want more. Once you get a taste, you just want more. But if you're satisfied, this is what Lent is all about, is the kick in the pants, anything in us that would like to settle for halfway. Lord, I don't want to settle for halfway. So in prayer this morning, I'm just crying out, Lord, I want to see Craig healed. And I'm thankful for doctors, but God, I want to see him healed supernaturally. I want to see Kelly healed, you know? But see, here's the deal. You got to get fearless about this. God's goodness is not at stake. What if Kelly tomorrow were to pass away? We pray for Kelly to get healed, and he gets healed and gets run over by a car, and he's in heaven. I'm like, going, well, okay. God wins, right? So what do I do the next day? I'll get up and pray for more. Because what the enemy tries to do to us, he'll say, like, well, if you're going after this, what if Kelly doesn't get healed on the side? What if you don't get the miracle? Then everybody's going to get disappointed. I'm going, well, then we're going to pray for more until we see all the Kellys get healed. Because that's the biblical model I see. I don't want to dummy the scripture down to fit my experience. 66, the fire is burning brighter than ever before. The body doesn't always move as fast, but the heart's burning, beating faster. So one of the things is you receive Eucharist today. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit and the fire, If there's not a burning fire in you, a wholeheartedness, there's nothing. God is wholehearted about everything, and he's looking for a wholehearted bride. If you're lacking wholeheartedness, it's not a personality type. You've got nothing to do with your personality. And I want to make sure you say something to me or Father Craig or one of us and say, look, I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Or maybe you need an oil change and you need to get a refilling. I think that's one of the responses in this season. God, fill us with, Lord, a greater manifestation. It's what Jesus said. How much more will your Heavenly Father give? And that's in the present tense continually. Give more of good things or more of the Holy Spirit to those who ask. Okay, Lord, we want to manifest more. Amen? Because the one thing I fear is drifting back. One thing about this fire of the Holy Spirit, which we'll probably talk about a little bit more tomorrow, it burns everything behind you. And as you've advanced and there's something in you that kind of wants to turn back, it's too late. Everything's been burned up back there. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.